I told you folks that we were going to talk about a movie that inspires me when I get down, like Paul got down. Now, when the Apostle Paul got down and things seemed rough for him, what recourse did he have? I don't know. Maybe there were some really nice music, some pop tunes, some hits. People, music is very old. Music goes way back, right? And perhaps he had some jams that he liked to listen to get his spirits up. Well, I watch a particular movie, and I've been very, very low in this work three times in my career. Three crises, you might say, where I literally shook my finger at God. I'm going to admit this to you. I don't know. I know. But I'm being honest. And I shook my finger at God, my index finger, and I said, you can only push someone so far. It seemed like God had taken me to the edge of my endurance. And I said, God, I'm only holding on by a thread here. And then he moved me farther down the thread. And it was an exercise in faith. And I can look back from today and say, well, I'm glad he did that for me. But God gives you a recourse. There's things in life that we need to use. M&M's is one of them. I used to say M&M's was a great, right? Dark chocolate. God gives us things to help us through this life. Dark chocolate is one of them. I believe wine is another one. And there are many things that can, you know, make the heart of man glad. Wine's one of them. There are other things. But one other thing is a movie that I used to watch. I'd put this thing on and I would just like minister to me movie. And the movie was Field of Dreams. Many people have seen this movie. It's a classic. It's not about baseball, starring Kevin Costner, Amy Madigan, and a couple other people. But the movie is about dreams, and it's about faith. And it starts with a voice in a field. Kevin Costner is a farmer. He's living in Iowa, nowhere land, in the middle of nowhere. And I'm in the middle of nowhere. You're in the middle of nowhere. We're the celebrities of the next eon, but we're nobodies now. And Kevin Costner's in the field. And he hears a voice, and the voice says, if you build it, he will come. Kevin Costner looks around. Who is that? What was that? If you build it, he will come. And of course, you know the story. If he builds a baseball field, then the famous baseball player who got kicked out of baseball, Shoeless Joe Jackson, was going to be able to return from the next life and play baseball again. Well, in my case, this was my case. This movie spoke to me even before I started this walk of faith, because at the time I was contemplating leaving the post office. I told you 2 Timothy was extremely important to me, especially the parts about the soldier. And I knew that I had to build it first and then they would come. I had to build this newsletter. I had it in my mind to write a different kind of newsletter. I had read all kinds of newsletters that were very scholarly, you know, and they all sounded very professional. And I tried to imitate other people. I remember I tried to write like Ray Prinzing. He used to put out a newspaper called Letters of Truth, and it was 6 pages, and it was very, very scholarly, and I always admired that, and I tried to sound like that, and I had 11 subscribers for a year. I had 11 subscribers. A year later, I still had 11 subscribers. A year after that, guess how many subscribers I had? That's right. I had 11 subscribers. Why? Because I tried to write like somebody else. And I'll never forget the day I was walking through the woods. I can take you there. It was in Ohio. And I thought, what if I could be myself? What if I could put humor in it? What if I could talk about my life? What if I could just tell people what I'm going through? What if there was cartoons? What if it was funny? What if I could let my sense of humor come out? And I'll never forget what a thrill that was. And what a revelation to me. Be yourself. You know, we all talk about that. But in the realm of theology, it just seemed totally improbable. And at this time, I remember watching the movie Field of Dreams for the first time. It was shot in 1986. I think it came out in 87 or something. And I didn't see it till 1993. And this voice in the field really spoke to me. It was like, God, if you build it, they will come. And it was like, if I made this newsletter, if I stepped out in faith, then there were people out there that would come to the newsletter. But I had to step out in faith. And Kevin Costner builds this baseball field. He tears down his cash crop, which is corn, and he builds a baseball field in the middle of nowhere. People are making fun of him. They're laughing at him. Crazy fool. You know, he's tearing down his corn to build a baseball field. Why is he doing this? Because he has a vision. The voice told him that this dead baseball player was going to be able to come back and live his dream to play baseball again. And I didn't even have a dream, really. I didn't know what was going to happen, except that I knew, and I remember telling my wife this at the time, I just feel that there are people out there that whose names we don't even know yet, and they're called. They're called to be in the body of Christ, but until I build this newsletter, they're not going to have a home. They need to hear this word, and they're out there. We haven't met them yet, but they are out there, and they need this. They need to hear what I'm going to do. And it was a thing of you build the field first, with no guarantees, nothing in paper, nothing in writing. And if you remember in the movie, Kevin Costner's worried he's going to lose his farm and his wife's after him. We can't do this. We can't afford it. You're tearing down your cash crop. And if you do this, we're going to go bankrupt. And that was a huge fear for me, to go bankrupt. We're going to lose all our money, and I'm going to be a laughingstock. People are going to think I'm a fool. You what? You quit the post office to write a newsletter? To tell jokes and talk about God at the same time, to have cartoons, to tear down the system? You're iconoclastic and you're going to think you're going to make money doing this? I remember I went to a financial counselor and he said, what's your plan? I said, my plan is I'm going to write a newsletter. He said, okay, well, how many subscribers do you have? I said, 11. Okay, he says, how much are you planning on charging for it? I said, nothing. What? No, I'm not going to charge anything for it. So he gets this big piece of chalk out and he writes on this blackboard and he tells me I'm going to have to mortgage my house, I'm going to take a second mortgage, do this, do that. He so demoralized me. I called my wife up. I said, we're idiots. We can't do it. But then this movie, if you build it, they will come. And I knew they were out there. So I quit. It was a walk of faith. Everything I saw, everything in the physical realm, everything screamed at me, this is a terrible decision. This doesn't make sense. It's not practical. You can't make money doing this. Nobody does this, you know. But I did it anyway. I built it. I built the field. And one of the most meaningful moments of this whole movie, Field of Dreams, for me is when Kevin Costner builds the field. It's the summer, and then he waits for this shoeless Joe Jackson. He doesn't show up. And then you see him, the snow is flying, his family's over for Christmas, he's sitting at the window and he's looking out at the snow and nothing, nothing. That's where the faith comes in. It's like the second day, Abraham takes his son Isaac, takes 3 days to go to the mountain to sacrifice his son, and the second day nothing happens. The second day in Scripture is very significant. You leave on the first day, it's exciting, the second day nothing happens, the third day there's resurrection. So anyway, this was like the second day in the movie, and there's nothing happens. And then one day, Costner's at the kitchen counter, Ray in the movie, and his little daughter comes up, and he's talking with his wife about, we're going to go bankrupt. We can't make the mortgage. This field ate up our savings, right? It ate up our savings. And his little daughter comes in, loved this part. She says, Daddy, not now. You know, we have all this stress. Daddy, there's a man in your field. Love that. There's a man in your field. And it comes true. He goes out and Shoeless Joe Jackson is there. And I moved every time I see that, because that's exactly what happened with me. I built this and people came. People came out of nowhere. Old people, young people. They found a common denominator of faith and joy and expectation and happiness. Because I wrote this newsletter with utter happiness. I was thrilled. It was fun. I overflowed. And it was God's spirit in me that I let it come out. I took down all the fences. I took down all the walls. And I just let it flow. And it's the opposite of writer's anxiety, or it's the opposite. I'm telling you this to let you know that if you build it, they will come. If you have a dream, if you have a passion, then you just need to do it. And you need to not listen to the naysayers. You need to get away from negative people who will tell you you can't do it. And if you look around like Peter did at the waves, you know, Peter was walking on the water. He was walking on the water until he looked around. Same with this movie, Field of Dreams. Oh, we can't make our mortgage, you know? And there comes a point in the movie where, you know, there's this crisis, and he's either going to lose the farm or keep the field, and more people are going to come. More people are going to be at this miracle place. And his brother-in-law says, you can't keep the field and keep, you can't keep your house and keep the field. What are you going to do? And he says, I'm not selling this field. Buy it and sell it not. buy the truth and sell it not. Whatever you do, hold on to it. If you have a dream, you hold on to it and you never let go. And his little daughter says, Daddy, people will hand over $20. They're going to come here. People are going to long for the past. They're going to long for baseball. And James Earl Jones gives this great speech. Baseball marks the time, Ray. They will come. They'll most definitely come. You know, I love that. James Earl Jones. Oh, they'll come, Ray. They'll most definitely come. They'll hand over $20 without thinking about it. The greatest line in the movie, for it's money they have and peace they lack. Money they have, peace they lack. And I knew that. I knew it. There were people out there with money who would support a work of God that would go out to meet the needs of the people. And what the people have money, but they lack peace. And this was a message of peace. Paul's gospel is a gospel of peace, and we have it. And God gave it to me. Like Dan and I have been talking on our show, ambassadors of this peace, of this joy, of this justification in Christ. And at the end of the movie, you see this camera pans up, you know, Ray's playing catch with his dad, and you see like thousands of cars coming in to the field. Thousands of cars. Here's a man who built it in anonymity. He built it by faith, and then suddenly people came streaming to a field in the middle of Iowa. And that's the message of this movie. It's a message of faith. It's a message of stepping out. And one more thing I got to say before we close, there is the second part of the movie that always got to me. And I watched this movie whenever I got down, whenever I forgot what I was about, whenever I started looking at the waves and wondering if I was going to sink, I'd go back and watch this movie. And the one part when he finds the reclusive writer, James Earl Jones, and it says, go the distance. That was the second message of the movie. First message, build it and they will come. Go the distance. Go the distance. And I knew that when I was ready to quit, I had not gone the distance yet. I hadn't taken it to the end. And so I am convinced that we're near the end and there's no way I'm going to quit in the home stretch. I have to go the distance and you have to go the distance. And if you feel like quitting, you can't quit now. You have to go the distance. And we're not done yet. When we're done, then we can embrace Jesus Christ. Until then, we walk by faith. So I want you to build it because God has put this in your heart. He's put it in my heart, and I built it, and they came. You came, and you're playing in a field of dreams. We are all playing in the arms of Christ. We're playing with these wonderful truths of justification and conciliation. And now we all go the distance. We are in the home stretch. This is the bell lap. Finish the course. Finish the course that God has set out for you.